It's been a real important series for us. And I'm hoping you're getting the messages that God's trying to speak to us. We talked about a lifestyle of endurance. We talked about losing it when you're supposed to endure but you don't, what that looks like and feels like, and how to avoid that. We've talked about being rooted, and endurance comes from having deeper roots. And we talked about what Jesus said regarding that. Last week, or week before last, I guess, we talked about knowing God's will. When you know God's will and you know what God's doing, then you can endure because it's called faith, right? You're hanging on, you're holding on, you know it's going to be fine, you know it's going to be okay, you can persevere and endure. So endurance, remember, we're not talking about just putting up with it and getting through it. We're talking about an athlete that builds up their endurance so they can win their race. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about endurance. In life, you should build up your ability to win. The older you get, you should have more tools, more experience to where you can win faster, better, and easier. But it doesn't always happen with age. I mean, look around at an old person and tell them it doesn't always happen with age. Some here are looking at young people. Don't look at me. I said look at an old person. It doesn't always happen with age. I know some young people that are amazing at enduring, having a great attitude, and winning, even when it looks like the deck was stacked against them. And I admire those young people. It's not always age-related at all. Today we're going to talk about Satan's tricks and Jesus' treat. I thought this Halloween weekend, we got to talk a little bit about that, right? And I really want us to, when I'm done, see the simplicity of what life is really about and how we can win, we can endure. We have an enemy, and he is tricky, but we have a Savior, and he is full of good things that he wants us to have. And it's not that complicated to avoid Satan and his trickery and get Jesus and the abundant life that he's promised us. It's really not that complicated. It can be confusing at times, but it doesn't have to be. How many of you know that if you don't know the rules, you can't win? If you don't know the rules, you can't win. You're disqualified, boop, because you don't know the rules. I like watching little kids play basketball. It's like they don't know what traveling is, you know. They're not sure which basket they're supposed to go towards and shoot at, you know. And if you don't know the rules, you can't win. Sometimes it's even hard to participate when you don't know the rules. In life, there's some rules. There's a way life is supposed to be lived. And if you don't understand what that is and how it works, it's really hard for you to win. And it's our job at the church to try to help you figure out how do you win, and then give you some strength and some skills and some support while you're winning, while you're doing that. How many of you have ever heard about people that will scam others? You've heard about scams. If you don't recognize a scam, you can't avoid the scammer. It was 10 years ago. My mom and dad are in a bank getting ready to spend $5,000 to help their granddaughter avoid jail and prison. And they had a phone call from somebody that sounded just like Kristen. And the person said, "Grandpa, I'm in trouble." I don't know where it's in Canada or in the Midwest, one of those places. I'm out of the area. I'm in trouble. I got caught with some drugs. And Kristen was just, she thought, "I don't do drugs. Why would they even think I did drugs?" You know, but I got caught with some drugs, and if I don't pay $5,000, they're going to throw me in jail. I got to get my bail. I got to get out. And so Dad and Mom went to the bank. They were on their way to the bank. And all of a sudden, that little bit of wisdom kicks in and says, Kristen was actually out of town that weekend. And I don't know how the scammer knew that the situation was just perfect for Mom and Dad to be persuaded that this might be possible. And they loved their granddaughter, so they were going to help her. Praise the Lord, they called Kari or I, and we said, no, Kristen's not there. She's over here, and she's fine, and that's a scam. But there's been lots of people that have paid that $5,000 because they didn't recognize the scammer. They didn't recognize. Sometimes people will call you on the phone and say, you know, I just need to verify your bank account number because we're doing this and this and this, and we're the bank or we're the IRS and we're updating our files and we need you to verify. And so tell us your number and we'll verify that we have the correct number. That's a scam. But if you don't know that, a lot of people don't. They give them their numbers. Keep your digits to yourself. Don't fall for the scams. There's all sorts of scams out there. We're going to give you a new car for $100, so we're going to send you this check for $5,100, and you cash it and send us back the $5,000, and we're going to deliver the car to your address. But if you don't recognize a scam, you'll fall for the scammer. And in life, Satan's the big scammer. I like what Neil said. Satan's a liar and so's his mother-in-law. I'm not sure I've ever met his mother-in-law, but Satan's a scammer. But if you don't recognize the scam, you'll fall for it. In fact, we've all fallen for some of his scams. We all have. Maybe today, when the service is done, you're going to say, oh, wow, I am falling for the scam again. Maybe there'll be something that the Lord and the Holy Spirit will just quicken to your heart and say, don't believe that. Don't act on that. Don't fall for that. That's not true. Satan is defeated, but he is a liar and he is a deceiver. And he doesn't want you to know he's defeated. He doesn't want you to know that he doesn't really have that authority and that power. He doesn't want you to know that. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is talking to some folks that thought they were religious and they thought they were even doing what God wanted, but Jesus said this to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." You just got to know that when Satan's lips are moving, he's lying. You just got to know that. And he presents stuff to you and I as truth, as reality. He presents stuff to us, and he wants us to believe it. He wants us to be scammed. He wants us to be deceived. You say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, the Bible clarifies that really good for us. And we'll read some of those verses. But there's a lot more verses than what I'm going to read today that help you identify truth from falsehood, from deception, truth from error, one of the verses say in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Peter's telling us this about Satan. Be sober. Be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So Peter is saying, you guys need to be alert, on guard. You need to recognize the scam. You need to recognize the deception. You have an adversary. He is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And the description of the enemy there, it doesn't say that he will devour you or he can devour you. We know from other verses that he doesn't have the authority to devour you. He can't really devour you. Although he wants to, he does have some tricks and some scams that if you fall for, he will devour you. But you and I have authority over him, and the truth really does set us free, like Jesus said. The truth really, really does set us free. But if you and I would be sober, vigilant, and resist him, and be steadfast in our faith, we wouldn't be scammed. We wouldn't be deceived. We wouldn't be overwhelmed. And it says that we all experience the scammer. We all experience the deceiver. We all experience the roar of a lion. If you were in the jungle and in the tall grass and you heard the roar of a lion, how would you respond to that? I'd probably mess myself. That's how I'd probably respond to that. Fear. One of his big tools is fear. Fear. Bible tells us fear has torment. Have you ever been tormented by fear? I have. Have you ever heard the deceiver, the scammer? Don't most of the scams have a fear thing laced into them? I fear my granddaughter has made a mistake, and I don't want her to have to ruin her life because of this mistake. So if I can spend $5,000 and help her, that's a fear-motivated thing. It's love-motivated, but it's also a fear-motivated thing. Sometimes it's those infomercials. If you call in the next 10 seconds, only the first 480,000 people are going to get this, but if you call in the next 10 seconds, we're going to give you that one and a free one and a free one to your mother-in-law and shipping free. You only have to, you know, it's like this fear. Oh, I'm going to lose the deal. I'm going to lose the deal. There's all sorts of fear-based stuff. And Satan really plays on fear. That's why God says, I want you to be people of faith instead of people of fear. What I like about Kelsey's testimony is there were dark days, and I've had some dark days. You've had some dark days. And you can let fear seize your heart and paralyze you and depress you and make things a million times worse than they need to be because of your fear. Or you can use faith. And faith doesn't ignore facts. Faith just says, I understand what the facts are, but I believe God's with me. And God's going to help me, and I'm going to be fine. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. I want to read that in New Living Translation. Maybe it'll pop up on the screen for us. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Is there a battle? Absolutely. Is there an enemy? Absolutely, there's an enemy. There really is an enemy. The warfare and the battle is not with flesh and blood. Sometimes you and I get tricked and deceived into thinking a person is causing our problem. A person is creating our pain. But you got to know that it's much bigger than that. It's not a person. It's Satan. He wants you to focus on the person, the family member, the neighbor, the employer, the coworker, the classmate. He wants you to focus on the person, but it's not the person that you and I will do warfare with and win. I've got caught up in it. Anybody else fighting people instead of fighting the real enemy? I've got caught up with it before. And only when I recalibrate my whole strategy and my whole thinking of, Lord, it's not Kari. Yeah, she loves it when she listens to these CDs and I'm messing with her. It's not Kari. It's Satan. Kari loves me. She's not my enemy. She's my wife. It's not that boss. It's not the president. It's not the IRS. It's not any of that. It's Satan, the spiritual darkness. And if you understand that, you fight the right thing instead of fighting the wrong thing. You will not win fighting against people and flesh and blood. In fact, one of these verses says, be careful, because when you bite and devour, you'll be consumed by one another. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you and I to bite and devour each other and consume each other. So he sits back, causes the problem, causes the conflict, accuses each other about all of that, and then we start biting and devouring each other, and he sits back and laughs because the scammer has just scammed us again. If you're going through struggles, if you're having conflicts, you got to understand that your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is Satan and his powers of darkness. And the cool thing is, you and I already win that battle. When we recognize it, we can win that battle. I have trouble winning battles with people. I can't argue enough to win some battles. I can't get loud enough to win some battles. I can't get a big enough gun to win some battles. It's hard to win battles against people. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Going, oh, I've already won the real battle. Why am I so distracted and messed up with these things that aren't really battles? It's because I fall for the scam of the scammer. Here are some scams that you and I should recognize, and we should defeat them, and we should overcome them. One of his scams is division. The enemy loves division. Whatever he can do to say, you're different than me, you think different, you're wrong, I'm right. Whatever the enemy can do to create division. Sometimes there's a spirit of division. There's just a spirit of, if somebody says it's white, you're going to say it's black. There's just that. Have you ever caught yourself in a mood of just arguing? Catch yourself in this mood of just division. I don't think it's that way. Oh, it absolutely is that way. Or you just pick on a little irregularity in somebody's conversation or somebody's comment. There's a little irregularity, a little thing that you want to bring a correction to, and you get involved in arguing instead of supporting and blessing and loving and getting along with each other. The enemy loves division. He'll do it with parents and children. He'll do it with spouses. He'll do it with neighbors. He'll do it between Cubs and Rams. He'll do it any old way he can. Cowboy fans and Seahawk fans. They're playing today, by the way, later this afternoon. I mean, he'll do it between Ford and Chevy people. He'll create a division any way he can. Fat people, skinny people, tall people, white people, dark people. He don't care. If he can create a division, he's happy. Republicans, Democrats, he doesn't care. If he can create a division, he's happy. And you got to recognize that when there's division at work, the enemy's at work. And do not position yourself against people. Do not position yourself against people. That's the enemy's work. Man, I could get really hung up on some of these. Another thing that you got to recognize is Satan's tool is wounds and trauma. Satan loves to wound you, hurt you, create trauma in your life, and then wants you to blame God, blame the church, blame mom, blame dad, whoever, whatever. He loves to create a problem, a trauma, an issue inside of you, and then get you to blame somebody else or something else. And then he isolates you from people that want to help you and people that are there to bless you and support you, and you just get more isolated and more isolated and more isolated. Wounds and trauma. We're going to read some verses about Jesus where he's all about healing you. He's all about taking care of those wounds and that trauma. He understands that Satan does it, but he says, I want to heal you up so that you're even better than before Satan messed you up. Anybody want to admit Satan messing them up? I thought it was mom. Nope, it was Satan. Mommy dearest. No, it wasn't that. It was Satan. Does Satan use people? Sure. But don't focus so much on the people. Because if you do, you're going to end up bitter. That's another one. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. These are Satan's tricks. He wants you to harden your heart. Just harden your heart. I'm never going to get hurt like that again. Oh, really? How are you going to prevent that from happening? I'm going to harden my heart. And Satan's going, that's exactly what I wanted. I want to hurt you so you'll harden your heart. Then you'll isolate yourself from God, the church, and anybody that would want to help you. And you just live your life hard-hearted, isolated, resentful, angry, bitter, and you've been scammed. You know anybody like that? I know thousands of people like that. Sin is one of the things that Satan uses to scam you. I say this about sin. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. Sin looks really cool at first. It looks like, woo, that looks fun. That looks exciting. It looks really cool. I want to do that. That's going to make me feel good. I deserve that. This is going to be, oh, man. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. Anybody say amen to that? It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. You know any drug addicts? You know any alcoholics? You know any sex addicts? It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I just wanted a drink. I just wanted some relief. I just wanted a thrill. And now I'm addicted. And it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. I was willing to pay a little compromise. I knew there would be a cost to it, but I didn't think it would ruin my life. I didn't think it would ruin my career. I didn't think it would ruin my marriage. I didn't think my kids would hate me because of it. I didn't think that I'd lose my job. I didn't think it would cost that much. See, it's one of his scams. It's one of his tricks. He says, I'm going to do something cool for you, but underneath of it, he wants to destroy you. It's, you know, I told you early on, it's simple. It's not that complicated. But he's a good scammer. He's really good at deception. He's really, really good at deception. A lot of times he says, this is going to meet your need. This is going to take care of you. This is the answer to all of your problems. But it's just a deception. It's that bait and switch, right? Right? Insecurity is another one of his scams. When you feel insecure, something's happened that devalued you. Something happened that attacked your personhood. Something happened that makes you feel less than the person you really are. Something happened that created insecurity inside of you. And insecurity can do a few things to us. Insecurity can make you look like you're arrogant and proud and rude, but you're really insecure. You're just overcompensating for this insecurity. Insecurity, it can make you isolate and withdraw. Insecurity can. Insecurity will cause you to say, I can't do that, when you really can, when you really should, when you're really supposed to. And so Satan loves to come in and create insecurity. Sometimes it's just a word that's said. My grandma on my dad's side was mean. She was 5'10" and meaner than Goliath. If dad was here, I'd say it because he knows. I remember my cousin one time, they lived in Virginia, Grandma did, and that's where Dad grew up, and she was out in Idaho visiting us. And my cousin, Grandma, are there big people in Virginia too? We were probably 10 years old. She was probably 12. Maybe I was 8, she was 10. We were young. And she said, oh yeah, there's even people bigger than Kelly Joe in Virginia. One time my uncle, I'm just talking about my dad's family today. One time my uncle, my dad's brother, I was a teenager, had acne. Anybody have acne when you're a teenager? Anybody 53 and still have it? Yeah, I get it sometimes, yeah. But I was having an outbreak of acne on my face, and my uncle drove up. He's an alcoholic, and he's mean. He learned it from his mom. Sometimes meanness can become a family trait if you're not careful. He actually was wounded and hurt, so he put on this big persona of being mean and tough when he was really insecure and in pain. And he said, Kelly Joe, you have syphilis or something? What's wrong with your face? Can that make you insecure? Now you're fat and you're syphilis-faced. That could mess you up. Now you know why I am the way I am, right there. It's grandma's fault. Some of you have similar stories, but you're not laughing about your stories yet. You're still really insecure. Do I have insecure moments and days? I do. I really do. Do I really feel qualified to be here? Not if I remember syphilis face stories. Now you guys are going to pick on me. I know, I'm going to hear that. I'm going to be on Facebook this afternoon. But you know what? I heard things that Jesus said to me that were true versus the things that Satan inspired other things to say about me that were not true. And I decided I would believe what Jesus said instead of the defamation of what others would say. Insecurity. If you didn't have a grandma or an uncle like me, you have somebody that Satan uses to mess you up. And you gotta make a decision if you're going to believe the scam, because it's not true. I am not syphilis face. I am not fatter than everybody in Virginia. I'm not. I've looked. I really know. I better keep going. I think there's a list in your notes. Depression is something that Satan uses. It's a scam. I know there's a physiological component to depression. Understand that and appreciate the help that we can get from medicines and doctors. Appreciate that. But you got to know at the root, many times, depression at the core is a scam from Satan. I got stories about that too, but I'll spare you. Sickness, accusation, confusion, hopelessness, fear, pride, offenses, pain. I found out that once I quit falling for Satan's scams, I'm not easily offended anymore. You can call me syphilis face, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Because I am who Jesus says I am. I'm not who Satan says I am. I'm not. Do I have times of depression? Sure, I do. But faith and hope overwhelms depression eventually. It really does. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Satan is accusing, pointing fingers. Maybe you've heard his voice. Maybe he's inside of your head. If you're somebody who accuses and thinks the worst of people and thinks there's always ulterior motives and there's always negative, bad stuff under the surface and behind the scenes, you're really listening to the wrong voice. You're really listening to the wrong voice. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And if you get a voice in your head that wants to accuse somebody or blame somebody or attack somebody, you better understand the scammer is at work. I love what Trina said about Johnny Schuster today. And I wish to God everybody had that same reputation, that I've never ever heard a negative word come out of his mouth about anybody else. It's like, Jesus, help me to be that person instead of being the accuser. In leadership, there's lots of accusations. There's accusations everywhere, but that's Satan's stuff. John chapter 10, verse 10. If we didn't know any other verse in the Bible, if we just knew that verse, we'd be really good. It says, Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Some people think that God's trying to hold them down. God's trying to keep them away from good stuff, that God's the oppressor. God is not the oppressor. He's the liberator. The only idea that comes to us that says God's the oppressor comes from the scammer, the deceiver, from Satan. He's got a lot of people convinced that church and God and the Bible are oppressive. Not. They're not. They're liberating, and they will set you free, and they'll set me free. Jesus' treats include salvation. Man, salvation. God wants you saved. And salvation is not just, well, now I get to go to heaven instead of hell. No, salvation is, I want to set you free from everything around you, inside you, that's hurting you, that's damaging you, that's holding you down. I want to save you not just from hell. I want to save you from all of that stuff that the scammer is trying to put on you. I want you to experience salvation, life, abundant life. That's what Jesus said he came to give us. Healing and filling you with his Holy Spirit. God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, just believing that you're serving a God that used to do cool stuff and he might do cool stuff again tomorrow, that's not enough. God said, I want you to know that I'm alive now. I'm active in your life now. I'm working in your generation now. Be filled with my Spirit. Experience me to the fullest and let's run together. Let's live together. Let's experience life. Real life together. He wants you refreshed and restored. He wants to fill you with purpose and destiny. I want to read some verses here before we close. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy of hundreds of years ago in Isaiah chapter 61. But in Luke chapter 4 here, Jesus quotes these words out of Isaiah. And he says, this is who I am. This is what I'm here for. Verse 18, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me or given me power and given me authority to preach the gospel or the good news to the poor, to the people that don't have any good news. I want to do that. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Yeah, Satan will break your heart, but Jesus came to heal your broken heart. He really did. He said he came to proclaim liberty to captives. Does Satan want to bind you and hold you down and entrap you and hold you limited? Of course he does. But Jesus said, I came to liberate the captives. He said to recover the sight of the blind. Does Satan want to blind you so you can't see how good God is, so that you can't see what his scams are? He wants to blind you. He wants to make you susceptible to his scams and believe what he's saying. But Jesus said, I came to open your eyes so that you could see, so that you could see what's really going on there. To give liberty to those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Man, God has great things. He accepts you. He loves you. And Jesus says, that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. I have some treats for you that are so amazing, and you would love them. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is an invitation. Are you tired? Are you weary? Is life hard? Come to me. Come to me because I specialize in easing your burdens. I specialize. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me. Come and learn of me. And here's the truth. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. And I'll set you free. Satan is oppressive, but God's the great liberator. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Wow. You call me a sinner? Yep. You tell me I have to repent? Yes. Are you telling me that there's a record of my wrongs? Yes, there is. And Jesus said, but if you'll come to me, I'll blot out all of that. I'll erase all of that. I'll make it just like you've never ever sinned in your life. I love you. I'll accept you. I will set you free. And then he says, my whole ambition for you is to refresh you. Man, does that sound good or what? I just want to refresh you. What does Satan say? I want to kill you. I want to fry your butt in hell. That's what he says. But God says, I want to refresh you. Didn't King David do an awesome thing in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Man, in North Idaho, we get that. Don't we get that? We get that. Satan's tricks or Jesus' treats. Satan only wants to hurt you and keep you down, but God has this amazing plan. I got a bunch of other stuff in there. Let me just talk about the victory that you and I have in In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Peter was saying, Jesus lives in me. And just before that, he says, there's this roaring lion. I guess that's John. John talks about this roaring lion, and Peter talks about this roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. And then John says, but greater is he who lives in me than he that lives in the world. Yeah, there's an enemy, but he's already defeated. And the last verse is 1 John 3:8. Jesus says, I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what I came to do. It's really simple. You can't lose. If you hang on to Jesus, you can't lose. You can't lose. He's already won, and you already win with him. Be wise, fight the right battles, endure, and win. Amen? Amen. Pastor Arby's going to come close us out.